we can move to our guests and they can do that. Thank you.
I'm Shelly Makubela Mashele, a member of this committee from the ANC. Thank you.
My name is Josh Buinamo. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Ian Ollis. I'm the spokesperson of the DA on Labour and a member of this committee. Thank you. Chairperson, how many people do we actually need as members of Parliament to continue, for the Labour Committee to continue sitting? Because I think we only got 5 here today. Is that enough?
I think you should address the chairperson, not the other chairperson. Thank you, DG.
Hi, I'm Nelson Gavinder from the CCMA.
I'm Mwako Sokololo from the CCMA.
Sorry, yes, could you tell us which portfolios you represent within your organization? Thank you.
Hi, let's try again. Nelson Gavinder from the CCMA. I'm the General Manager of Operations.
Mwako Sokololo from CCMA. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
I'm Noreen Khan, and I'm the Director of the CCMO.
Tanya Cohen, Chairperson of the CCMA.
Tengu Simkalipi, Member of the Governing Body of the CCMA.
Member of the Governing Body of the CCMA.
Ntwaki Mamashela, Member of the Governing Body.
Elas Monache, Member of the Governing Body.
David Lekay, Member of the Finance and the Audit Committees of the CCMA.
David Carson, Member of the Governing Body of the CCMA.
Good morning. I'm Freddie Peterson from the Department of Labour. I'm serving on the Audit Committee of the CCMA.
I'm Ronald Bernico, National Senior Commissioner Operations, CCMA.
Thank you very much. What we're going to just do now is just going to run through the apologies. Oh, they're still... Are you, sorry.
Good morning. My name is Iggy Sateke, the Executive Manager at Productivity SA.
Good morning. My name is Lavdilia Maupia from Productivity SA, Executive Manager HR.
Good morning. My name is Bongani Toga, the Acting CEO of Productivity SA.
Good morning. Alvin Nell, Chairperson, Productivity SA.
Good morning. My name is Paul Askwebu. I'm Executive Manager, Strategic Management, Department of Labor. I'm also in the Board of Productivity.
Okay, thank you. If the Secretary could just tell us where we received apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We just received 2 apologies. So one is from Honorable Nyagembe. Said he will not be able to attend due to flight details, and the other one is from the Minister of Labour. Said he won't be able to attend because he's attending a Geneva conference. Thank you very
much. Okay. So what we'll start with is the presentation from the CCMA. So over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You will note that this presentation is a condensed version of the documentation that we sent through, which we've done for simplicity purposes to focus on the strategy overall and for the year ahead. Just to note from the governing body perspective, we have most of our governing body members here and one from each constituency. Apologies from Narius Maloto and Becky and Chali Chali, Ian Masood and Kaza Moyani, who were unable to be with us due to a variety of commitments. We have been called to present today on the strategy, particularly for the year 2011-2012. In terms of the presentation outline, Thank you.
Sorry, just a second. We have a little concern when you say a variety of reasons.
Would you like me to detail?
Is it, yeah, I mean,
I
for instance, why aren't they here? Yeah, please,
okay,
thank you.
Sorry, I will explain. From a budgetary perspective, the governing body attempts when we are before Parliament to make sure that at least one member of the governing body from each constituency is here, as well as the chairpersons of the subcommittees. Unfortunately, Becky and Charlie is in Geneva at the ILO conference, and Kaiser Moyani has business commitments at his place of work. Narius Malotta has recently lost his mother due to bereavement, so that's the reason they're not here. I'm not too sure. And Ian Lucina's got management committee meetings, so my apologies for that. Is that acceptable?
Yes. Thank you, thank you. We got more clarity. They're not surfing in Hawaii or something. Thank you.
No. All right. In terms of the documents, we also do have packages available for new members of the committee if they are, if need be, which consists of the annual reports as well as the 10-year anniversary documentation.
Yes, we'd like those if possible. Thank you.
Chair, I will ask one of our members to hand them out to the new members. Mr. Bernico, could I ask you to hand those out, please? Thank you.
Our presentation, which we intend to cover today, will cover the vision, the mission, values, and functional purpose of the CCMA, just in a summary format. And we will also cover the organizational structure. I will then hand over to the director to take us through the details of the Siapambili strategy and its particular delivery areas in the 2011-2012 year. And we will finish with a comment on resources, evaluation, monitoring, and funding, and a short outline of some of the main achievements over the course of the last year. In terms of the vision, we have, as part of the strategic planning process, revisited the vision and slightly adjusted it. It now reads as follows: to be the premier dispute prevention, management, and dispute resolution organization. The wording premier dispute prevention, management, and dispute resolution organization was selected. We had long discussions within the governing body as to what that meant, and we felt that that would position us well both locally and internationally and in relation to other institutions. So that was why the choice of the word premier was used. In terms of the mission of the CCMA, and this is very closely aligned with our objectives in terms of the Labor Relations Act, the purpose of the CCMA is to promote social justice and economic development in the world of work, and to be the best dispute management and dispute resolution organization, and very importantly, trusted by our social partners. And the CCMA goes to great lengths to ensure that that trust is maintained and the independence of the institution is maintained in that regard. In terms of the values of the CCMA, we have revisited those values as well, but they remain largely unchanged. I'm not going to read through all of them, but I will highlight those that are significant. In terms of integrity, there's a strong focus on honest and ethical behavior and delivery and accountability. In terms of diversity, we focus on a team of highly qualified and diverse individuals. Transparency, excellence is a core focus in terms of commitment to excellence and delivery, again, you see coming through. Accountability in terms of constantly measuring ourselves and the outcome of our work and commitment to deliver what we say we will do. And then respect in terms of fostering a culture of trust and respect. In terms of the functional purpose, our mandate is defined in terms of the Labor Relations Act, and it covers conciliation of workplace disputes, arbitration of unresolved disputes after conciliation, the facilitation and establishment of workplace forums and statutory councils, compiling and publishing information and statistics about the CCMA activities, considering applications for accreditation and subsidy from bargaining councils and private agencies, supervision of ballots for unions and employer organizations, and then training and advice on a variety of different functions and processes, including workplace restructuring, consultation, termination of employment. And that's particularly, members will be aware of the training layoffs. In terms of that, CCMA has played quite a significant role under the training advice as well as under the facilitation processes in that regard. Moving to the organizational structure, I'll start with the governing body. We consist of 9 members, 3 from organized labor, 3 from organized business, and 3 from the state, as well as the chairperson and the director, who is an ex officio and non-voting member of the governing body. Our organized labor representatives are Mr. Becky and Charlie Charlie from Kasatu, Ms. Mary Maletti from Fidusa, and Mr. Narius Maloto from NACTU. The governing body members from business come from BUSA, Mr. Elias Monachi, Mr. Dave Carson, and Mr. Kaza Moyani, who is a new member of the governing body. The government representatives are Mr. Temin Kosi Mkalibi, Ms. Nswati Mamashela, and Mr. Ian Masun. So that is our governing body, and we meet at least 4 times per annum in order to conduct governing body business. Committees and subcommittees of the governing body, the Finance and Risk Subcommittee, Human Resources Subcommittee. Both the Nomination and Governance Subcommittees are ad hoc committees, and then the Accreditation and Subcommittee, as well as the Independent Audit Committee, are the standing committees of the governing body. In terms of organizational structure, you will see there that there is a combination of both specialist and general operational functions reporting into the director, Ms. Noreen Khan. There is a legal and arbitration function performed by Mr. Eugene van Zadem, capacity building and outreach function performed by Mr. Jeremy Daphne. Head of mediation is Mr. Asal Suveldal. Head of corporate governance, Mr. Utumeling Masehi. Chief Financial Officer, who is here with us today and has introduced himself, as well as the Chief of Operations, and both Chiefs of Operations, sorry. And then the reporting function of Senior Commissioners reports into Ronald Wernicke. And that's all the Senior Commissioners across the convenient Senior Commissioners across the country in the various provinces and regions that the CCMA operates in. So that's the background in terms of our structure and our mission and our values. I'm going to introduce the Siya Phambili strategy and then hand over to the director. The Siya Phambili.
Just a second.
Yes.
Now, I see that your presentation is very long on the strategy. If we can skip some of the things that are less important, let's say, and I'll let your discretion to decide on that. It's just that we have to fit it all in, and then there must be a time for us to ask questions on it. Okay, thank you.
Will do. We will try and abbreviate, so I will speed up and I'll ask the director to do the same. Just to note that the strategic plan was crafted on the basis of previous plans. It has been adjusted and worked through with all our stakeholders. It sets out obviously our key goals and strategic objectives, and it determines the allocation of resources and the operations and performance of the CCMA. With that, I'm going to hand over to the director to speak to the details of the strategy that was devised by the governing body and that is for implementation by management.
Chairperson, thank you very much. You will be relieved to know that I know that the presentation that we provided to you was long and lengthy because it constituted the whole strategy. The presentation that I'm going to give now is actually highlighting only very specific KPIs of that strategy, obviously taking into account that the committee has time constraints and we need to get through the issue, so hopefully that will assist. So maybe ask some of the members to also look after the next few slides that I've actually animated the key issues out of the strategy that I thought would be relevant. Firstly, let's talk about the strategic goals. These were devised as indicated by the chairperson in a very consultative process, and there's 3, that we will position the CCMA to impartially promote social justice and economic development in the world of work. We will deliver professional, user-friendly, quality services with speed. We will maintain organizational effectiveness and strive for continuous improvement. Arising out of these are 4 or 6 strategic objectives. Under each have key performance areas. And because I'm going to repeat them, I'm not going to list them again now. And then I'm going to take you through an enumerated amount of the KPAs in a very specific way to try and indicate what we think are the most important. So on the first strategic objective, enriching the role of the CCMA in the labor market, key performance area 1.1 is that the CCMA will play a leading and dynamic role in the facilitation of social dialogue and economic development on identified labor market issues related to the CCMA's mandate locally and internationally. Our 2015 measurable outcome is that we will play a leading role and a dynamic role in this area, but as indicated and as requested, in our 2011-12 year work, we are going to continue establishing the research forums that we've developed this year and have exchanges of information and to produce findings in relation to four main areas of research. Moving to the next strategic objective, which is strategic objective one still, but the key performance area 1.3, and that is to enhance the quality of dispute resolution under the auspices of bargaining councils. In 2015, our intention is that we will have a proper and appropriate accreditation and subsidy system and improve dispute resolution services in bargaining councils. But our measurable outcome for this year is to review our accreditation and subsidy criteria and improve compliance of bargaining councils to the criteria that we have set. Continuing under that strategic objective, the user and stakeholder empowerment and capacity building is an also a very important area of our work, and we aim by 2015 to ensure that we've raised and improved our capacity levels and targeted very specific areas, particularly in vulnerable sectors, by 75%. During the course of this year, it is our intention to identify awareness raising and skills development activities and to make sure 45% of those identified areas, particularly with the vulnerable sectors, have actually had received deliverables in relation to those empowerment and capacity building programs. Remaining with that strategic objective, the other important area which has already been alluded to by the chairperson is the promotion of employment security. In 2015, our intention is that the CCMA will be recognized as a leader of promotion of employment security through high-level Section 189 interventions. What that is Section 189 and 189A are interventions in relation to retrenchments and the loss of jobs and in relation to ensuring that we have improved dispute management interventions. For this year, we need to plan and implement publicity and capacity building projects on employment security, business turnaround and job saving and survival mechanisms, and hoping that they will be advanced and delivered to 100% of the areas that we've identified. Still on the same strategic objective, but dealing with the 1.7, that is assist and support and promote collective bargaining. In 2015, we want the CCMA to be recognized as a leader in assisting and supporting collective bargaining processes and have three voluntary structures established under not organized sectors at the moment. The intention for this year is to maintain our specialist dispute resolution function and to enhance the post and pre-service in relation to any interest disputes in various sectors. For new members of the committee, if those who don't know, a mutual interest dispute would be a matter where it's a matter of national strike. And that in significantly under-organized sectors this year, we will identify them and try and work in relation to supporting them and assisting them in improving on their collective bargaining processes. Moving now into strategic objective two, we've just listed out a few points, and that is the development and delivery of a conflict resolution practitioner occupational qualification. Our aim by 2015 is to ensure that we have established a training institute to deliver all the training for commissioners. Then the course of this year is to make sure that we progress in developing the curriculum and establish the professional body for commissioners. Moving to strategic objective three, and that is to deliver excellent service rooted in social justice, ensuring a balance between quality and quantity. The intention here is to entrench social justice in all CCMA services, processes, and outcomes. By 2015, we want all services delivered in the CCMA complying with this and in the four targeted areas.
For this year, in order to set ourselves up to achieve this goal in 2015, we will continue to review all our standard operating procedures against the mandate of the Labour Relations Act of economic development, social justice and labour peace, and entrench the culture of delivery in line with these principles within the organisation. Still staying with that strategic objective, the key performance area 3.2, and that is to improve accessibility of CCMA services to users. By 2015, we want to ensure a 20% improvement in the accessibility of CCMA services. But during the course of this year, we're investigating the feasibility of opening new CCMA facilities in identified areas and other mechanisms to improve accessibility and to implement the new facilities where feasible. We're also initiating a further rollout of all our CCMA services in the Department of Labour offices. Staying with the strategic objective, our further key performance area is to improve the quality of service delivery to ensure speedy dispute resolution. By 2015, we want to meet and maintain the agreed efficiency targets, and in the course of this year, we want to review and agree any new efficiencies and target a 5% improvement on all national efficiencies that are identified. Moving to strategic objective 4, which is enhance and entrench internal processes and systems for optimal deployment of resources. The intention under this KPA that I would like to highlight is to entrench a culture that focuses on performance and service delivery excellence, and that by 2015 the organization is entirely performance driven and an organization that rewards excellence. For the course of this year, to set ourselves up to achieve that, we need to implement our revised performance management system to ensure improved delivery. Staying with this strategic objective, I wish to highlight that we also want to ensure public finance management compliance and the organization operates as a going concern. Our 2015 measurable outcome is unqualified audit reports and no questions in relation to the issues that deal with that. For this financial year, we want to target specific areas: effective working capital management, monitor and further improve this, improve liquidity of the organization, a positive going concern for the organization, review budget and planning processes, and the business model of the organization. Moving to the next strategic objective, which is number 5 of the 6, and that is to align the structure that will enable optimal implementation of the strategy. Just focusing on key performance area 5.2, to promote skills development, employment equity, and women in commissioner positions and leadership. Our 2015 target there is that we have more women in leadership and continuous professional development. In the course of this year, we want to focus on developing women and further leadership policies, and also improve and entrench management and our management and leadership strategy. Moving to the final strategic objective, to the strategic objective 6, which is to entrench an organizational culture that supports delivery on our mandate. The area that I would wish to highlight is to ensure effective development, implementation, evaluation, and reporting on the strategy. And for 2015, our target is that the strategy is developed and implemented as many of the outcomes that we wish and have set out actually have been achieved. But in order to ensure that for this year, we're going to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the strategy regularly and review the strategy development process and ensure that we align it to the budgetary cycle. That covers very briefly key areas from the strategy. I know it's a lengthy document, but there were areas that we picked out that we thought the members of the committee would be most interested in. Then moving on in relation to dealing with resources, just to take the committee through the principle that the CCMA obviously is a people-driven organization, and the importance of managing our resources effectively, both our people and the financial aid that we're given in relation to that. And we're focusing very strongly and trying to ensure that we develop that process from there. At this point, I'm going to hand over to the CFO, who's going to deal with the next few slides.
Thank you. Honorable members, the section I'll cover is evaluation and monitoring and funding of the strategy. Under evaluation and monitoring, the CCMA is working towards establishing a system that will enable it to monitor and evaluate the impact of its offerings on the economy in terms of the goals and objectives of fair democratization of the workplace, equity, and economic development. This will be reported quarterly by management to the governing body in line with the strategic thrust of the institution. Already, the CCMA has developed and implemented a system to monitor and track progress of the Siyaphambili strategy from 2010-11 to 2014-15. On funding, honorable members, the CCMA predominantly gets its funding from the fiscus. From the slide which we have shown, we'll focus on 2011-12, which is the year which we are going to, and the strategy will be in its second year of implementation. The transfers which will be received from the fiscus will be 448 million rand. And out of that, there will be non-tax revenue which will be raised through the services which CCMA offers to stakeholders in terms of training and pre-dismissal hearings in the workplaces, which will be to the value of 11 million rands. Out of that, if you can look at the audited income of the past three financial years and the annual report which has been distributed to the honorable members, the CCMA is coming from accumulated deficit position, where we had accumulated deficits coming from the year 8 and 9 and 2009 and 10. That was due to the economic situation, the adverse economic conditions, where we posted for the two consecutive financial years deficits which accumulated to 47 million rand. However, for the estimate for the 2010-11, the CCMA is forecasting that we will reduce the accumulated deficit to 12 million rand from 47 million rand. And the rest of the 12 million rands will be amortized in the year 2011-12 through funding from government. And how will that the grant funding be utilized to fund the objectives? As the director has already highlighted, there are certain objectives which he has touched, which are in our scorecard. Of importance, you can see how we have amortized the expenses to in implementation to meet the strategic objectives and for the years to 2013-14.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Sorry, I forgot to turn my mic back on. Just as by way of ending and just highlighting some of the work and to make it a little bit more real, we thought we would take everybody through some of the work that the CCMA has done in the last year in relation to its strategy. And just addressing issues of supporting the economy. As you know, the CCMA has played a significant role in relation to its facilitation process and trying to work towards job saving. That slide represents at the top in the dark, in the blue, just under 9,000 jobs that have been saved through the facilitation process in the last financial year in the work that we've done both through the Section 189 and 189A facilitations and retrenchments, as well as the work in the training layoff scheme. The bottom slide indicates the number of employees that were likely to be affected. Obviously, we deal with it differently in relation to forced retrenchments and and voluntary retrenchments, and they indicate different areas. Through this, one of the key areas that we were given was basically what I would argue is an unfunded mandate, is promotion of a training layoff scheme. And this slide is just to represent the work that we've done so far in relation to the scheme. The other work that the CCMA is probably most known for is promoting of industrial peace. And the CCMA would like to draw to the attention of the committee the role that they played and somewhat behind the scenes in ensuring that there was relative industrial peace during the World Cup in the course of last year. And the other significant areas of work that we worked on were successfully intervening and arriving at some resolution and assisting with moving forward in major national disputes of national interest, being in Transnet, Metrorail, Eskom, and the motor industry. These obviously all work towards assisting and supporting the economy and the work that we do. I highlight those because they're areas where, while it's not actually the main area of our work, 85%, 90% of our work is individual dismissals, it's the area of work that everybody appears to remember us by and the role that we have to end up playing. And during the course of last year, we had many challenges, but we also managed to maintain the work that we have been doing, and we ended the year by being awarded the Silver Award for the Best Reputation in the Legal Sector for Public Service Excellence, and we were nominated as one of the top three organizations in the legal sector for 2 years in a row by the citizens of South Africa. And I would like to end with that and thank the committee for listening to the CCMA.
Thank you very much. Before we go to the rest of the committee, I just want to ask some clarity on, in August last year, the committee came and presented, or the governing body came and presented to Parliament a report about issues that were raised, and I'm assuming that you were aware of this. You're all knowing, and I just want to know if that's all being covered and everything's covered there, and if not, why not? Now I'll hand to the committee for questions, and then I'll end up with my questions. Committee, has anybody got questions? Okay. Oh, Emma.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I want to find out from the presenters is, you see, on strategic goals, we will position the CCMA to impartially promote social justice and economic development in the world of work. And all those strategies is we will. Now, my question here is, what is your time frame within which you shall have done that and completed that? Because it is important that we have a time frame so that you don't come again next year and say we will. And presenter on evaluation, you alluded to democratizing the workplace. I really want to know, how do you democratize the workplace? Because democracy is about choice. I mean, if my job, for instance, was democratized, I wouldn't be here today because I don't feel well. Thank you.
Remember, you're not covered by the Labor Relations Act. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson, Acting Chairperson. My question, I'm one of the longest serving members of this committee, which doesn't say a lot in Parliament because things change around here. But I don't want to get into the detail of this report. What I want to do is ask some more broad questions, strategic questions, because really our role as members of Parliament are twofold. The one is to interrogate what is done by the entities, which my colleagues are doing and will ask a lot more questions about. The other role is to look at the strategic questions. So ask the question, why do we do what we do? Why do we have the CCMA? And then to ask the questions, is the CCMA effective at doing what South Africa needs done? So the context is that what a number of my colleagues don't know is that Johannesburg's CCMA office is the largest dispute resolution center in the world. And I've asked questions about this before, because my concern is this: why if South Africa is nowhere near one of the big countries in the world in terms of numbers of people, do we have such massive dispute resolution mechanisms? And they cost money. And if you look at this chart that you just gave us on financial performance, it's going to cost soon about $500 million a year to do this. So my question is, related to this, we're spending $500 million a year, we've got the world's largest dispute resolution centers, are we just more angry and nasty with each other in South Africa than anywhere else in the world? I mean, I don't believe that for a moment. We've had some problems, we've had apartheid and all that, yes, I understand that. But why is this country running such a massive dispute resolution institution. And in terms of the money that we costing the country, are we getting value for money? Is this the right thing to do? Now that's the background. My actual question is, can the CCMA suggest to us ways that we could improve that situation where perhaps the cost to administer this form of social justice could be reduced, or alternatively, another way that we could resolve disputes without referring them all to the CCMA? Lots of other democracies function quite effectively without having such a big tool. And maybe there are other ways. Maybe there are ways we could refer disputes elsewhere. I don't know. So that's my one question. Isn't there a better way that we could get the same social justice without such a big institution? And I know that no government department likes to suggest ways that we can cut their budget. So I understand what I'm asking you to do, but I'm still asking you to give it some thought. The second question is, we see increasingly the problem of forum shopping, where someone's unhappy, they go to the CCMA, they don't get what they want, they go to the Labour Court, they don't get what they want, they go to the Bargaining Council, they don't get what they want. And there are two problems there. The first problem is that they get sent to the wrong forum and waste a lot of time. And we as members of parliament, because we are not CCMA experts, we get asked where to send people, the public, and we don't always know. And then I have to drop off an email to some other department saying, is this the right place to send the person? Can the CCMA not provide us, not today, but perhaps in a month, a summary page as to which cases should go to the Labour Court, which cases should go to the CCMA, which cases should go to the Bargaining Council, which cases should actually go to the Department of Labour's office, so that we as MPs refer these cases to the right place. Because we often refer them to the wrong place, and then the poor member of public is upset with us because we've told them to go to the CCMA, and the CCMA sent them home because it's the wrong place. And I would like to improve in our ability to do that. And then perhaps if there's a way we can limit the forum shopping where people just don't like the decision and then want to move it somewhere else, is a way we can deal with that. I know these are bigger structural questions, but these are the questions that are more important to me than whether you spend 10 rand on tea or 15 rand on tea. I don't really care. What I care about is these bigger issues which are affecting the whole country. Thank you.
Thanks, Acting Chair. Let me say the Siyaphambili strategy is very sound and it looks workable. But my interest is just the comment or the question that you asked the CCMA just after they had concluded the presentation of the strategy. There were issues that came before the Portfolio Committee last year around part-time commissioners who were quite not happy with the entity and had their issues. Can the director just give us a highlight into how far have they worked towards resolving the issues that the part-time commissioners had? And the second part would be that there were some individuals who came before the Portfolio Committee who were members of the CCMA who had issues around the operations of the CCMA, specifically on issues of maladministration, and there was an investigation into the affairs, and the Auditor General gave out a report which clearly had recommendations to say, moving forth, this is how the CCMA should handle its affairs. But there are issues that keep cropping up again, where people came before the Portfolio Committee not necessarily before the portfolio committee, who came to us as individual members of the portfolio committee to say at CCMA things are still the way they were. Funds are still misused. Well, those are just allegations, and they remain allegations up until they are tested. But I just want to know the mechanism that you have put in place to address the concerns of the that came out from the Auditor General's report, and to say, yes, you had come before us and gave us a breakdown to say this is how we are going to address the issues that were raised. But I just want to get a sense of how far, how do you see things as people who are in this entity? Are you addressing those issues adequately? So, thanks.
Thank you. Chairperson?
Thank you very much. Now, if I was presenting for the CCMA, I will from the beginning move from the premise that your image was dented in the some few months ago, and that you came to this committee to make to explain yourself. But still, there were certain questions that were not answered to the satisfaction of the members. And that what I was going to do in my little corner was to try and assure everybody that we have learned a lot from our previous mistakes, and that the mistakes that we did, if they were mistakes, because some people feel that they were not mistakes, that these were well-planned activities masquerading as mistakes. You know, there is a way of explaining when you do wrong, say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But when you know fully well that it wasn't a mistake, those perceptions are still there in the back of our minds, and even worse, in the eyes of the public, because if we still have these questions, or we still have these doubts somehow, what more members of the public? It's even worse because I get phoned by organizations and individuals who will talk about individuals. And I say, if you don't write it down, I won't entertain it. I could mention names of people complained about, including even commissioners. But the other thing I'll say is that your report is not signed by the board. So how legal is this? Or do you have a signed copy? Because I'm told that when presentations, when papers, documents like this appear in Parliament, they have to be signed by the authorities who are responsible for that. So we may be dealing with a paper, but which is not necessarily the document. Nothing ties this document to anyone, except something that the silver thing is. That's why you see a little bit of signature, the award. Otherwise, the document is not. The only thing that looks signed is a copy of your award. There were issues raised. Amongst them was this Polokwane company. I'm from Polokwane. I'm from Limpopo. What was his name? That company that got the contract, and it was discovered that they are not actually PE. The contract was terminated. And then you hired the same people again under a different name, the account number is still the same. So for me, if the name changes and the account remains the same, it's... These are the stories we hear. And we can't just ignore them. But when you say somebody write it down, and they are not writing it, I'm just raising it, you know. Maybe it's for you to check if the... Is it Kagiso or what? Tabiso, yeah. If Tabiso's contract was terminated because they did, because they lied about their status, and then later they are, you give them the same job under a different name. Because another, there are two kinds of identities. It could be a bank account that will identify who the money goes to. And if I change my name, I still use the same account. Sorry, I'm still Alec, but I said I have seven names. I've used my Wednesday name, you know. But the account will link my Wednesday name to the name I'm using now as Alec. I'm just saying that, you know, these are some of the things that if you don't tell us what happened, how are we going to know? And in settings like this, we should not be digging for information, because we are on the same side. We're helping you to do your work better. Without us, they may not be, you know, you may have lots and lots of problems in terms of, you know, clearing things that are obstacles on your way. But at the same time, for us to implement programs, we need you to implement those programs and do lots of field work as people who are out there in the field with the public. So we really need each other. And if we cannot find each other in relaxed forums like this, then what if then we invite our adversaries, you know, other people who are competitors, who are competing with you on this. There are lots of them. We've got legal companies that would like to do what we are doing, you know, in helping government to achieve its goals. But at the same time, you need to move yourself because you are on the right on many things according to the study done by the Auditor General. These are the books, and these are the ratings that they are giving. You know, so it's not us. If they say you are in the red under this and that program, it's only you can tell us that. No, actually, we are not in the red. We're in the blue, or we're in the green. Yeah, on the green. Yeah, there's green and red and other colors, but. Please don't make us dig for information. Tell us that you are doing well. And if you are not doing well, tell us, no, we are not doing well. We've had these problems in the past. And you know, it's going to take a long time to turn this ship around. The procurement, your procurement division was at the center of the storm. And we're talking about one division within a very big body. We can't have everybody's name being painted with a negative brush because of a smaller entity within the organization. Now, those in management at the top, including the board, because this actually is a challenge to the board, because the board's responsibility is clear to everybody. Including the role of management in making things to be, you know, so the organization can have a good health, bill, you know, health certificate. But otherwise, if I'm to sign it, I'll start asking lots of questions. How are your kidneys? Because I'm not sure. I can't get that information when you talk. There are payment errors.
how do you make an error of paying somebody more than once? And what have we done to rectify this? The person responsible for this, what happened to that person? Because the PSMA stipulates it. You can't tell us that it was an oversight on the side of the person who signed the check. You don't have an oversight role. We have. We are the only one who can do oversight. You don't have an oversight role. In terms of your function and all, we are the ones who are playing an oversight on you. What happened? Who did this? Who made this error? And what sanctions did you apply against the person? I'm not saying that did you cut his ear or his nose, but I'm just saying, you know, was this person cautioned? Was he or she charged, you know, for contravention of the act? But again, it goes again even to the department, because the department, it gives you money from their monies that they are allocating to you. So they too will have to answer, but what is this that they have done? Because the PFMA says before you can transfer money to somebody, to another entity, you've got to make sure that you know that the monies will be used professionally and that the monies will be accounted for. And if it's not, the one who transferred the money, his or her head will be on the block. So I just want you, ladies and gentlemen, to assure me, us, that the CCMA is in good hands and that it will grow and grow and grow the way you tell us that it is growing, and that it will do, you know, meet its objectives. But the way things are, you know, you can't just, the past is not like it's not like a button, you can't just switch it off. There are processes. You need to define those processes. And for us to be satisfied, we need to know that, okay, this is where they are, this is what they have done, and now we are convinced that this matter won't recur. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, machinery here. Okay, I've just got a few questions as well. I would like to refer to this document, which is the Auditor General's National Audit Report Outcomes, which I'm sure you have copies of. Where the green and... You don't have copies of this? Sorry? Oh, well, it's a public document, so I suggest you get a copy. Because in here it says, the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration needs improvement in the following areas. The appropriate systems are in place to support the... preparation of financial statements and performance reports. So there's a serious problem with your reporting. So basically you must go through this report, because next year I'm going to pull up this report and next year's report, and if there's still red dots, I'm going to say obviously you're not doing your work and please account for it. And there's quite a few things in here on many of the pages. The other thing I want to talk to is in your big presentation, although it wasn't specifically said here, is that 4.2 million rands of savings is in the postponement or filling of non-critical vacancies. And I'd like to know how many are they, and why are these jobs on the organogram if they're not critical? I mean, for instance, if you can do without them, then do without them, and it's not really a saving. You've basically just beefed up your organogram in order to now have a 4.2 million rand saving. The other thing I want to talk to is in your financial statements, it says that you're going to spend around 308 million rands on goods and services. Now, I'm assuming that those goods and services are fundamentally external consultants who are charging you exorbitant fees, but we wouldn't know, you see, because all it says is goods and services. So we would like a breakdown on that. I mean, you're spending more money on goods and services than you're spending on compensation of employees. And normally compensation of employees is a very big slice of your budget, but in this case it's not. So this, I'd like more detail on this. And when I say more detail, I mean, are you spending 100 million rand on one person? And if so, we'd like to know who that one person is and why can't you do that job yourself? Thank you very much. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you 15 minutes to come up with answers, and we're all going to come back here in 15 minutes. Thank you very much.
Evaluation by SARS and recovery of amounts that have not been paid by those commissioners. So it's something we're going to have to monitor and actually monitor the progress and actually keep on implementing for a period of time. It was something we couldn't close off on because it's a process. The other area that has not been concluded but has been addressed is the issue around revising policies. Some of our policies had been hadn't been updated in terms of a treasury regulation that had come in, I think it was in 2005. And the findings of the Auditor General were that they had to be aligned with those policies. And the CCMA took a decision to immediately apply the regulations instead of the old CCMA policies so that we were compliant. But the process of actually adopting a new policy was in progress. And that is still being in progress, and it will be done by the end of this financial year. But the compliance issues were addressed in terms of the policy issue. So although it was partially completed, it had actually been addressed as the Auditor General required. And then the other outstanding issue was some final procedural factors around the Tabiso contract, which the Chair referred to. And that contract, if I can just reflect on it, was a contract where the CCMA had entered into that contract on the misrepresentation that there was a BEE accreditation, which was subsequently found to be fraudulent. The contract was cancelled, and that was cancelled already, I think, about 18 months ago. But what had not been concluded was the processes around a new provider, given that the previous contract for printing services had not been sought. So what has happened since then, however, is that the governing body has approved the new provider. It's definitely not the same, so I'm not too sure where that information comes. We're certainly not aware of any such information. But a new provider has been secured. It has been recorded as required by the Auditor General in the register and by Treasury, and it has been reported as required to Treasury. So in terms of the special investigation, other than those three issues which I have mentioned, all other issues have been attended to. I have to say that there were a number of issues that the CCMA was not applying the correct process. Those issues have been corrected to the best of management's ability. Governing body has oversight. We monitor that at every governing body meeting. And we are watching that very carefully. So that is the status of the special investigation. As I've indicated, there was a comprehensive report that we did table, and that we can send through to the committee for reference purposes. An additional issue was referred to by the chairperson, which was monies that have been double paid. And I can only think that that is related to a 7i contract, and it wasn't an issue of double payment. It was an issue of where the contract amount differed from in the actual contract, the summary page differed from the breakdown. The CCMA has addressed that already. It was an error, and the money is in the process of being recovered. The governing body is tracking that because it was an overpayment. So those are the issues around the investigation. I wish to point out that even though there are issues of process that we acknowledge need to be addressed, there was a very clear finding that there were no allegations of any fraud or corruption or mismanagement, and that was validated in the annual report where the CCMA got an unqualified audit. In relation to the one question that was asked by the acting chair in terms of the $308 million, that does not go to consultants. A large amount of that, and I'll ask our CFO to address it when he does respond, goes to part-time commissioners that are independent contractors, and they serve a large amount of the caseload. But we will deal with that in more detail when we get to it. In relation to the question around, I think the question was, what exactly, when will we come, I think it was Honourable Bonama, when will we come back and say we will deliver? You said, when are we going to stop saying we will? Just to contextualize, our strategy is from 2011 to 2015, and the we wills take us up to 2015. So I'm sorry, you're not going to get your wish just yet. But this strategy is what we have presented today was the 2011-2012 year of the strategy, which will take us to 2015. The full strategy is before the committee and the documentation that was sent through. I'm advised that the strategy was duly signed and delivered to the executive authority and tabled in Parliament. My apologies that we did not sign the presentation. If that is required, we will indeed do so. But the strategy documents have been duly signed. I'm going to hand over.
Just to, I mean, on this issue, to add on the issue of when we deal with the we. Remember, normally in Parliament, we come here for two things, the strategy and the annual report. The annual report will indicate actually what we've done against the strategy. That will take away to answer the question that has been asked by the Honourable Member in terms of who will deliver. Because the annual report, it will be telling the members what the CCMA has done in the previous year against the strategy that we came here the year before. Therefore, it will say this is what we've done around these areas. If you look in the annual report against the strategy for that year, you will see what exactly the CCMA has done against that strategy. I think that's the better answer to that question. On the question, the big question that Honourable Member always asked about, when are we planning to be exit basically CCMA to deal away with this issue of dispute resolution and the money that we spend? It's a very difficult question. I think there are many stakeholders that should answer this question, which are more important than the CCMA. The players themselves, employers, if the honorable members could ask the employers on why is there such anniversary in the labor market, and the trade unions. Those are the two parties that are better placed to answer the question of why is South Africa, looking at this economy size, have got so much dispute in the labor market. They are the best people to answer it. But the CCMA does try to deal with the issues in its intervention in terms of dispute prevention, to train employers and take the parties through to ensure that we prevent dispute coming to the CCMA in the first place. Them to give them capacity to be able to deal with those disputes in the front line itself. That's what our dispute management is trying to do. But we think that the best people that should answer this question is a very important question for the country and the economy. How do we deal? Because, I mean, it's not good for the economy to have so much disputes. We agree with that. But how do we deal with that? How do we make sure that those disputes go away? We think that the parties that are involved in the dispute in the first place are the best people that should be able to answer that question. As the CCMA has said, we're trying our bit. We're trying our bit in terms of dispute prevention and dispute management to ensure that parties are capable of resolving their own dispute and prevent them coming to the CCMA. Nare?
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. To answer the second question that the Honourable Otis asked,
And that was the question in relation to the principle of forum shopping for labour disputes. I think that there are two issues. I think that one of the current proposals that are being debated, and I wouldn't give a view on that, is trying to address particularly exactly that issue and to prevent and to clarify that labour disputes should specifically go either to the CCMA, the bargaining councils, etc., or the labour court. And one is hopeful that there will be resolution and found in relation to that. Having said that, however, that we as the CCMA agree that it is firstly very frustrating for an individual worker or an employee to go somewhere and to be sent somewhere else after that. We have, through our case management system, been, with the assistance of the Department of Labor over the last 2-3 years, electronically trying to link up many of the organizations with the long-term goal, and hopefully that will be by the end of this year, to ensure that if you are an individual worker and you are dismissed but you actually belong to a bargaining council but you come into a CCMA office, you will be able to lodge your case there, and then we will electronically transfer it automatically to that bargaining council. I'm not saying it's going to work perfectly and it will work smoothly, but it will take some time to implement, but the vision on that, and we agree with you in relation to that. Also, as you know, we've mentioned several times, as you've been a long-standing member of this committee, that the linking with the Department of Labor, the intention is that we're training Department of Labor staff to assist long-term in relation to that, which would prevent that individual person from having to go forward and go from pillar to post in relation to that. Again, it might take some time to implement, but it should work. And so that's partly an electronic solution to some of the problems in relation to the bargain forum shopping. And absolutely, the CCMA will undertake to ensure that the committee members, we actually already have for all our staff a diagram which sets out who should go where and what should happen. And we're very, very willing to make that available through the secretary, acting chairperson, if that's in order with you, so that the members of the committee could have access to that. It sets out firstly how the law refers you and then how you would refer through bargaining councils. It isn't a totally static document because sometimes in relation to the negotiations things do change, but it would within that reason assist quite tremendously, I'm sure. So I'll be willing to help assist in relation to that. In relation to the question on the use of resources in this, I'm going to ask the CFO just to elaborate on the chair of the governing bodies. Response to the $308 million just to make sure it's clear and also refer to the slide.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. On the question of the slide on funding on statement of financial performance, the $308 million, this is how the classification, it says goods and services, is the classification from the estimate of national expenditure. However, the detail is 194 million rand is spent on casework, where we do case disbursements. Out of that, the CCMA processes about 200,000 cases per annum. Out of that, 65% is held by part-time commissioners, where they get paid a daily fee in handling, on average, about 3 or 4 case events on a particular day. And then 35% of that goes to full-time commissioners, which is the fixed cost built into the 194 million rands on case disbursements. And then the other 114 million rands, which is left out of that, goes to rental of all CCMA offices in all the provinces. In total, it's about 16 buildings where we hear cases. It's in the region of 40 million rands of lease costs per annum. And then 20 million goes to communication. The IT communication to link all these offices and the cases being processed to the center at the CCMA and also to bargaining councils. And then 10 million rands relates to travel, which is for general staff and also commissioners traveling in between the provinces. And then subsidies to bargaining councils to the value of 7 million rands, which we, the CCMA accredits the bargaining councils and pays a subsidy amount on completed cases at the bargaining councils. And then the remainder of that is other general administration expenses, which amount to plus minus about 3.5% of that amount.
Thank you. And Acting Chair, in relation to the additional question you asked in relation to the 4.2 million and the need for the vacancies that haven't been filled, and are we not just wasting money or creating an organogram in relation to that, as the committee is aware that the CTMA was stretched financially quite significantly last year in relation to the economic downturn, and as a result our caseload goes up quite significantly. So in order to try and ensure that we could put as much of our budget towards running the case roll, we made people double up on roles. We did various things in relation to that, and we specifically took decisions not to recruit. I'll ask the CFO maybe to just give a bit more detail in relation to that, if you'd like us to unpack the numbers of why we did that in answering the question.
Okay. Thank you, Acting Chair. What practically we have done is that in the years where we were facing adverse economic conditions, the non-critical positions which could be performed from a central point, we merged the positions. Instead of having, say, 10 case management officers in Natal, but those cases can still be processed electronically in Johannesburg, where you have the resources, then we didn't fill the positions in Natal. We used the shared service model to make sure that we get by and not have escalation of the deficits coming into the system. So that's why those positions were not filled during those years where we faced adverse economic conditions.
Thank you, CFO. And Acting Chair, obviously, while the shared service model works in many instances, and perhaps we can review the organogram to a certain degree, you also have to recognize when one's managing the organization that you can't drive people extremely for long term. So we don't want to push the staff to the point that they are totally overworked. And the benefit of that is that we have people who are off ill and stress leave and things that relate to that. So one has to look at the balance in relation to that. We called on people to, and then the staff of the CTMA, to assist and support the organization in the economic crisis. But on the long term, it's not a sustainable solution. Thank you.
Sorry, there was one other issue which I omitted to address when I responded, and that was the issue around complaints by commissioners. Under the previous committee chair, we were advised that because we were not in that session when the commissioners came to this committee, we were advised that we would be given a copy of the issues and asked to address this committee. That has not happened at this stage, but what I can say is that obviously there are internal processes at the CCMA available for any complaints. I'm aware that the director has addressed these issues internally as far as they have been raised internally, and if we are required to address them, then we would obviously need details in that regard. In responding just in closure to all the questions, I want to reassure the committee that we will send a copy of the full response in terms of the Auditor General report, as well as any other report that's required on the commissioners if need be.
Thank you very much. I don't know if there's any follow-up questions. I've got a couple. Do you have? Okay. But before, Chairperson.
Question about the strat plan not being signed. I don't remember hearing anyone responding to that. And the strat plan, there's no budget attached to it. There's a lot of questions. And the topical research issues identified. What informs the targets of four areas? There's about four areas of research that we're going to do. your budget was cut by what? You received 95 million less than what you budgeted for. What were the reasons for the cutting of your budget last year? Because I know that you received 61 million from the department as an addition from your cuts. But what I want to check is what reasons were given for not awarding the whole 174. And we know that if you budget for something and you get given less, it is bound to affect your work. And how has that impacted on your programs and plans? That's for now.
Thank you. What I'd like to talk about is basically our committee, the function is to do oversight, and as we look backwards, as we proceed forwards and look backwards, we'd like to see improvements, and it's a bit disturbing for us when we see that you've got, the Auditor General thinks you've got inadequate control systems in place, there's very little internal auditing department isn't performing, inadequate quarterly reporting on performance information, and your strat plan didn't really talk to that. And I don't really want to sit here next year and have to talk to you about this again, because, you know, that would just not be good. The other thing, I understand about the vacancies and the 4.2 million rands, but you're absolutely right. I mean, eventually your people will take you to the CCMA because you're treating them really badly. And so is there a plan to, I don't know, rebudget for those positions and then fill them so that you can actually, instead of making your people work hard, because cutting jobs just puts pressure on everybody, and eventually productivity will plummet, and next year you'll have no control systems in place, everything will be bad again. So I just want to know, is there a plan to fill those vacancies? I mean, what is the plan, the way forward? I mean, you can't keep cutting people, it's not good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Acting Chair. In terms of the response around the strategy plan, including the budget, the strategy, including the budget, was signed and tabled with the Executive Authority, who I understand tabled it in Parliament on the 9th of March. It is indeed correct that we haven't signed this presentation. If that is required, we will do so. So I hope that addresses that concern.
I'm going to hand over to the director. Mr. Chairperson, and comrades say. No, but then the copies we have, not of the presentation, copies of the strat plan are not signed. Maybe the one sent to Parliament, it's signed, then it's fine. But the copies we have, I've got a copy here. That is the presentation. This one is no. I'm looking at this. Yeah, it's not signed. The copy I have is not signed. I'm talking about the copy I have. And if a document is not signed, the lawyers will tell you a very long story that whatever is in there is not binding. That's how I ask the question.
Thank you for that clarification, Honourable Chair. We will indeed try and rectify that. We did deliver, obviously, signed copies, but for some reason those that have been circulated appear not to be. So we will rectify that, and we understand the concern. Thank you.
And Acting Chair, then
through you the other question of the chairperson, which was what informs identifying four areas of research. I'm assuming that it means why we're not doing 10 areas of research, or what are the four? Firstly, we're trying to target specific areas, and also we don't have a large budget in relation to that kind of work, so we try and look at what are the most strategic needs in that year for the labour market, what are the things that we think would be of the most important areas, and that's how we target the process. Obviously, if we had more resources, we would do further research in relation to that, but that's really just the simple answer to how the number four is arrived at. And that there were we wanted to actually have five, but we thought that on resources we could only actually afford four. And that would be the answer in relation to how we deal with that. I'm going to ask the CFO to address the issues in relation to the budget process.
Thank you, Acting Chair. The question from Honourable Ntshavheleng of the 174 million rands requested in the budget cycle in the MTF of ending 2013-14. The bulk of the request of the 174 million rands consisted of the CCMA is trying to move to virtualization of taking cases. In this is that cases are anticipated that are planned to be taken through the Department of Labor offices nationally, which I'm told is about 130 to 135 offices. When we projected that people who would have normally not brought cases to the CCMA, now they'll have an outlet where there is a labor center to go in and lodge a case, and then a case can be scheduled and heard. And the system in the CCMA has been modified to can do that, where we don't have to necessarily have brick and mortar offices in those areas. So in doing that, we projected, based on the inquiries, because some labor centers are already having a case management system, but they are not taking the cases in. They can only give feedback to a member of the public who walks into that particular labor center to say, I need to see the status of my case in the CCMA. They can provide the update and where the case is. But we have moved a step further to now take cases. In projecting that, we projected the 174 million. And due to the nature of government, our government budgets, there are other priorities which we compete with in the allocation of funds. My assumption is that those priorities were important in the government program so that our budget was reduced on that request. However, the impact of that is that we have delayed the implementation by a period of 6 to 10 months in implementing this in the coming financial year of 12-13, where the 135 labor centers will be able to take cases. And the allocation for that year will be in the region of 485 million, which we believe will be able to take the cases in. The impact is the delay in the rollout of the program. Another question from Honorable Williams is that the findings as reported in the Auditor General report. Maybe just to go back to the earlier question also asked by Honorable Makubela and Honorable Ntshavheleng, that have we learned? What we have done and agreed with the Auditor General, based on the findings which they've raised in the deficiencies in the internal control system, in the performance management reporting systems, what we developed a tracking model which we look at on a quarterly basis, and we present it to the Audit Committee, where the Auditor General sits and reviews the progress, that when we get to the 31st of March of this year and the audit of this year is done, those issues should be closed and then they've been addressed and they've provided feedback in that process. So in addressing those issues, we had a newly established risk management unit which has plotted all the findings and the deficiencies which the Auditor General report has reported on, and we developed a tool which we call the IBTC, which is our issues to be tracked for correction, which we report to the Auditor General and they get a copy on a quarterly basis to make sure that what they've raised are not repeat findings in the coming audit. And in that is that we have learned
from those mistakes, because most of the processes were in their infancy and now they are maturing. And as can be seen in the performance, in that we are focusing to the end of this financial year, that our financial controls and the internal control systems are showing that we are going to save a lot in the systems by tightening the controls. And we are reducing the accumulated deficit, which we have reported in previous years. However, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We will see when the AG comes to audit the financials ending 31st March 2011.
And Acting Chair, just to add on to that, while it maybe didn't come out as clearly when I was speaking, it is specifically highlighted in the strategy. If you look under Strategic Objective 4 and 4.3 of that key performance area, it's actually set out in quite a lot of detail. I did try and cover it when I spoke about 4 or 5 as well, but perhaps I was going a bit quickly and I apologize for that.
Are you done? You're done. That's it. Okay, we're not going to take any more questions from our side. It's what we're fundamentally looking for is your confidence in your improvement of your systems. Because we're very new. I'm new in this committee. I've been here for 3 weeks. So I don't know what the history of your organization is for years preceding. But just improvement next year would be a good sign. That's really what we want. And your confidence in that. It's really what we want to see, because I really, really don't want to sit here next year saying, remember when. The proof is in the, you know, the proof in, of the pudding is in the eating. So that's really what we're looking for, is improvement. And, you know, so I'd like to thank you for coming. And before I close completely, I'll let the chairperson.
Ask the wrong question. I didn't say the budget, I meant the budget information. You know. Those are the details related to the budget, you know. I think that maybe my question was not understood. That's why you decided to skip it, because it was a non-question, because the budget, it is attached, but there isn't enough detail in terms of the budget info.
So I
guess next time when we improve and bring the budget information, and thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, CCMA. There is tea outside now. We can make it a working tea when we move to the next presentation, but you're welcome, of course, to stay with us and mingle. Thank you very much. Sorry, we'll just take how long do you need, like 10 minutes to set up? Are you set up then? So it's a working tea. We can just move in and out quickly and then... Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Because it was really nice. When you come, I'll take a picture. Look, I also want another seat because I like to take a seat at home.
Oh, this is for your...
To write the report, because we must leave a seat at the office. We will try to be seated.
Thank you, members. Secretary? We're going to start now. Hey.
This is paper that they must pay for, and so
they
don't like it.
Okay. We're going to start with the presentation from Productivity South Africa. Over to you.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. I will start off with the background up to the strategic intent, and from that point onwards, our executive team, under the leadership of our Acting CEO, will continue. On the background side, Productivity Advisory Council was established in 1968. The board composition is employee organizations, employee organizations, and government. The National Productivity Institute became a Section 21 company in 1975, and then the National Productivity Institute's name was changed to Productivity SA in 2007. In lieu of the establishment of Productivity SA under the change New Skills Development Amendment Act number 37 of 2008. Under the current Employment Services Bill and the envisage Employment Services Act, we comply with requirements as set out in Schedule 4. Under strategic intent, our vision is to lead and inspire a productive and competitive South Africa. And our mission is to improve productivity by advising, implementing, monitoring, and evaluating solutions aimed at South Africa's competitiveness. Our values, service excellence through the implementation of relevant solutions, market leadership through creative and innovative solutions, working together as a team to achieve common goals, partner with stakeholders, pursuing solutions to South Africa's productivity challenge, and honesty, integrity, and professionalism are the cornerstone of all our actions. Our approach is to be customer-focused and people-centered, to promote collaboration between management and labor, encourages a productivity mindset that is internalized, is multidisciplinary and integrative, promotes social and environmental sustainability, sector and cluster base, and an alignment to national priorities and delivery through partnership networks and alliances. I will give over to our Acting CEO to take us through the strategic program.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be looking at the programs of Productivity SA, and I'll be spending more emphasis on the three flagship programs of Productivity SA which we use for the delivery. The first one being value chain competitiveness, that looks at the competitiveness of companies as well as sectors. And then the second one, which is turnaround solution, which is focusing on saving jobs in the economy. And the third one, which is organizational solution, which will cover the sustainability of the SMMEs as well as intermediaries to make sure that they are productive. And we also have positioning and branding, which is our marketing wing that ensures that the quality of our services, and there's also an awareness about the productivity solutions that we are implementing. And as a standard manager, we also have the HR that looks at talent management. We have finance and admin that ensures that there's an alignment between strategic objectives and our financial resources. And we also look at monitoring and evaluation, which is consistently looking at what we're doing and ensuring that it's cutting edge and that it meets the customer needs. And then in terms of the first flagship program, which is the turnaround solution, as you will see later on when we look at the finances, It is our biggest project, and understandably so, in view of the fact that we are one of the few organizations that is focusing on ensuring that jobs are saved. And the reason why we believe so much in this program is that studies have shown that it's more cost-effective to save jobs than to create new ones. And also in terms of times, it takes a shorter period. We can save a company within a period of 6 to 18 months, whereas to create a job, a sustainable job, it can take up to 2 years. For a simple reason, there's already an infrastructure in place, there's management, there's talent. So all we need to do is to establish which areas require revitalization. And in terms of the background of this, this initiative came as a result of Job Summit in 1998, where there was a concern about the job losses in the economy. And stakeholders at NEDLAC met to see how they can deal with the issue of job losses in the economy. And then they came up with 3 phases. The phase one, which is turnaround solution, which looks at saving jobs. The second one, which is managing retrenchments, where we've gone past the issue of saving jobs. And then the third phase was to look at job creation. And within NEDLAC, Productivity SA was mandated to deal with this, with the first phase, which is turnaround solution, which looks at saving jobs. And in terms of this initiative, it started in 1998. It's funded through the Department of Labor, currently under the UIF. It's managed by Productivity SA, and as indicated earlier on, the key objective is to save jobs. And then in terms of the kind of work that we are doing, there's a correlationship between the way we understand the economy and the nature of our interventions. As most of our interventions would be in the agricultural sectors, which is as a result of automation and leading to job losses. So we would come in and look at how the human resources can be deployed. And as you can also see, there's also a lot of job losses in civil and construction. This has not been the case in the past, but one can understand why in the current financial year we've experienced a lot of requests from this sector, and it's owing to the fact that construction related to 2010 FIFA World Cup came to an end, and therefore the companies had ended up with surplus in terms of labor force. So those companies that came on board, we assisted. So what normally comes second is the clothing and textile. As you know, it's because of the challenges that we are getting from countries such as China and Brazil. And we also are having some work that is done in manufacturing based on the requests that we are getting, and then the rest will be coming from various sectors. And in terms of geographic spread, in terms of our intervention for 2010, which has been consistent with other years, there's a correlationship between the quality of partnerships we have in the provinces and the number of requests. So the trend is similar to the previous financial year, where because of the strong partnership in Free State, we tend to get most of the requests from the Free State. And it's followed by Western Cape, where we have an office. Northwest, we've also done a lot of work, as well as within Gauteng. In terms of the indicators that we have come up for the next financial year on this program, the objective being jobs saved in distressed companies through turnaround solution. So we have certain milestones. We do not only look at the final figure, which is how many jobs have we saved, but we also have other milestones leading to that. Firstly, as was indicated by our chairperson, our approach within Productivity SA is to promote collaboration between management and labor. There's an element of distrust if we were to go and talk only to management and say this is how we can turn things around. But if you get labor on board, then there is some trust, and there are also some good ideas that come from that forum that will ensure that whatever solution we implement is sustainable. So we start by establishing future forum where we put an agreement together, and it's signed between management and labor that they will work together in terms of ensuring that there is a turnaround. And then having done assessment of that particular company through going through the financial statements, as well as discussion with management and labor and looking at the plan, then we are able to come up with work plans where we will be implementing in those companies. So we're looking at implementing about 90 plans. And then of the companies that we started in the year ending 2011, we are hoping to close about 32 of that. And what we also do as well in terms of lessons learned and evaluating the impact of our intervention, we do what is called impact assessment. We are hoping to do about 80 impact assessments. And then what we also do is, over and above the fact that we are involved in turning around companies that are in distress, we also target companies that are stable and say to those companies, put early warning systems in place. So early warning system would be those indicators that would be red flag and indicate to management you need to do something. So they wouldn't have to wait until they are in serious trouble, but they would come up with the solution. So we help them establish those early warning systems. So we're looking at establishing about 300 of those early warning systems, which also represent the number of companies we'll be targeting. And then we will also establish proactive future forum. Proactive future forum, it's in those companies where there is not distress, but we are encouraging a forum between management and labor that will look at labor issues relating to productivity. And in terms of our target for the year ending 2011-2012, we are hoping to impact on about 22,500 jobs. So which, if you multiply in terms of likelihood, it's a significant number. If you look at the family representing about five members. And then this takes me to the second program, which is value chain competitiveness. In terms of this program, there are four key components. The first one is to generate and provide decision makers in government, business, and labor with information on productivity so that there can be that discussion on productivity related issues and service delivery. And then the second one is to improve the productivity and competitiveness of companies and sectors, because we know that if we improve our level of competitiveness, it will generate an opportunity for creating more jobs and sustainable companies. And then the third component, look at information technology, which is supportive to the strategic objectives of the organization. And the fourth component, because productivity SA is about knowledge management, and because of the efforts we put in terms of acquiring cutting-edge knowledge, we have to have an effective knowledge management that will ensure that even when we lose employees, we do not lose knowledge, but the knowledge is retained within the organization. And the targets for this particular program, as was indicated by the chairperson in the opening statement, that we also look at doing an alignment between our programs and government priorities. One of the priorities is job creation. So we will conduct a research on the contribution of municipal land on the economy, so which will be distributed based on the lessons learned and how municipal land can be utilized productively to create jobs. And then the second aspect, the second indicator is productivity statistics report. Productivity statistics report looks at various sectors in the economy. It indicates what the challenges are, areas where we can improve on, and things we need to fix in order to be a competitive economy. And then the third aspect looks at the SMMEs. SMMEs is one area which has been targeted by our government in terms of area which, if developed, it can be a room for creating jobs. And we are not only looking at keeping them in the second economy, but we believe that through proper training and also ability to manage productivity, they can be on transition from the second economy to the first economy. And then the last one is the study on competitiveness on competitive indicators for South Africa. This looks at the entire economy. It indicates areas where we're doing well in comparison with other competing nations and indicates areas for improvement. And this aspect will be dealing with competitiveness of companies. So where we help companies embark on continuous improvement, and the second aspect being to develop competitive value chain within industries and conduct sector studies in different sectors. So when you look at the first indicator, which is companies assisted through Workplace Challenge Program, this program is funded by DTI and it looks at ensuring that companies are not only sustained but they become world-class companies. And in the next financial year, we're looking at targeting about 150 companies. We already have started with certain companies in the current financial year, and we're looking at nurturing an additional 126 companies. And when you look at capacity building workshops we conducted, you see that it's not the same as the number of companies nurtured. So we embark on a cost-effective way of training companies by clustering them and bringing them together. So hence the number of training intervention is low in relation to the number of companies that will have got on board. And we're looking at creating clusters. The reason why we create clusters within a geographical area is to encourage companies to learn world-class from each other. So we group companies any number between 6 and 12 and they are able to learn from each other. And the number of industries in which we are going to create these clusters are 4. And then lastly, in that indicator, where we will be conducting sector studies, list of sectors participating, and we're looking at doing studies in 3 sectors. The next aspect is positioning, branding, and stakeholder management, which is looking at ensuring that we create awareness about our program. It's got 3 layers, the first one being to inspire South Africa towards greater productivity achievement. The aim of that is to raise urgency and the importance with which productivity has to be given in the face of world competitiveness, because we know we're competing globally, we need to understand the best practices and ensure that we are able to sustain our company. And then what we also do within that program, we highlight the role of every South African in achieving this, and also to create a universal understanding of productivity. When we talk about productivity, we need to share the same understanding. And then the second pillar looks at building the legacy for the productivity essay. We need to ensure that the brand that we are working on, it continues to grow over years. So we raise the profile of events as they happen. So what we normally do is that every year in the month of March, we declare the month of October as Productivity Month, in which we raise awareness about our program, where we discuss issues around the level of productivity within the economy, and where we also share with the various stakeholders within the economy the research reports that we have generated. And the third pillar looks at build appropriate relationship between Productivity SA and stakeholders. As was raised earlier on by our chairperson, that Productivity SA relies a lot on partnerships because of our size. In order for us to make an impact, we have to create partnerships within the organized labor, organized business, as well as within the government departments. And the program outcomes would be of this particular one, which looks at branding, would be to create awareness of the importance of productivity and competitiveness. And what we tend to use is productivity seminars, where we go to universities, where we go to chambers and talk about issues that relate to productivity. And we also create association of productivity concept within South Africa with Productivity SA, that anyone wanting to know more about productivity should know that Productivity SA is the source. And then there's also South Africans embrace the concept of productivity that lead to change behavior. So productivity should not just be a theory, but people should deal with things differently after having embraced the concept of productivity. And also an entrenched brand awareness that lead to strong brand equity. So a few years ago, we valued our brand, and we want to go back and see to what extent has it increased as a result of awareness. And we also want to be in the forefront of productivity thinking and discourse, which you see that whenever there's an issue that is productivity related, we are the source in terms of commenting or giving input in that regard. And in terms of the outcome, annually we do national awareness campaign through print and electronic campaign, media articles. And what was of interest last year is that through our national campaign and media and articles published, is that the target was set at 70, and due to a World Cup, we realized that we far exceeded that number, and we've increased the bar in terms of engaging with the media from the 70 from the previous year to about 85. And we'll be publishing electronic newsletter, we'll be doing quarterly productivity magazine, and even within our annual report, we'll indicate what we've been able to achieve, which companies we've worked with. And the other aspect, which is very critical, which has helped us in terms of making inroads, especially in provinces, is the productivity awards. So in the past, the awards were only limited within Gauteng as well as Western Cape, but now we have moved on and we have successfully launched a productivity award in the Eastern Cape. And what we also intend doing during Productivity Month is that we'll be conducting 12 workshops and seminars, and we also intend partnering with 17 stakeholders. The next program is Productivity Organizational Solution, which is also a flagship program. In terms of the objective of this program, it's got three pillars. The first one, to provide productivity training to intermediaries. When you look at the size of the productivity, say, you would ask, why are we working with intermediaries? But we believe that the best way of making an impact is to work with people that can deliver our gospel to even more people. So we train skills development facilitators so that they can go to workplace and be able to demonstrate how training has improved productivity within the workplace, to encourage training as a means of improving productivity. And we also train education, training and development service providers so that we can have more people that go out there and also train. We do not want the training to be limited to the resources within the productivity, but we want more people to engage in that. And then the second aspect is to conduct direct training to managers. So the direct training is where our own staff will go and train managers, workers, and emerging entrepreneurs to foster continuous productivity improvement. So we do not only train them on how to measure productivity improvement, but also to embark on a process of continuous productivity improvement. And the third pillar looks at implementing productivity improvement projects in government departments. So we approach government departments and help them with service delivery and private organizations for continuous performance improvement. The focal area of this particular program is small enterprise development, so which will include small, medium, and very small companies, as well as cooperative, because as indicated, that this is aligned to government priorities in terms of not just creating jobs, but creating sustainable jobs. And through productivity improvement, those environments can attract more jobs. And then training and development. And we also go to school and educate the educators in terms of productivity improvement, who in turn will pass it on to the learners. And we also have organizational assessment that does organizational assessment in terms of how various organizations are doing. And we also embark on productivity improvement projects. In terms of the target, in terms of the first deliverable, which is capacitate, education, training, ETD service providers, as well as SMMEs, these are the targets that we have set within the Department of Education. We intend training 300-700, and in terms of productivity competencies for emerging entrepreneurs, the target in the previous financial year was 3,000. We've increased it to 3,500, and we intend training 720 workers and managers on productivity concept. In terms of skills development facilitators, through the work that we will be doing with the CETAs, we intend training about 250, and we intend implement one project within the government. And then lastly, we engage graduates in mentorship programs, so we intend doing four of those interventions. And in terms of international partnership, to make sure that Productivity SA is perceived as having cutting-edge skills, we, over and above the fact that we employ industrial engineers, we have partners with our Asian counterpart in terms of ensuring that there is a transfer of skill to our own internal experts. And in terms of the work to date, this partnership was entered in the year 2006. So to date, this is what we've been able to achieve. 35 of our staff members have been trained on international basic and advanced productivity concept. And to date, we have been able to get 7 observational study missions to Japan, which has covered 22 of our employees. And currently, in order to learn even from our African counterparts, we work together within an organization known as Pan African Productivity Association, where we are the secretariat, where we exchange information, technique, and knowledge with our African counterparts, and we report annually to SADC Committee Minister for Employment, Labor, and Social Partners about our initiatives in relation to productivity improvement within our own economy. And we also report to African Union, which is currently implementing productivity. So in the year 2010, AU adopted agenda on productivity, and we are part of that program. And we report annually on the progress that our economy has done. And in terms of our work, we also ensure that there is consistent monitoring and evaluation in order for us to be able to improve on what we're doing. Annually, we conduct a customer satisfaction survey, and key to what we measure is relevance and value added. In terms of relevance, we test if our interventions are up to date, and need-based interventions, that what we are selling to the customer, is it what the customer requires? And then in terms of value added, it checks whether the level of contribution was towards providing sustainable solution. We do not believe that a company that we assisted last year should come to us in the next financial year needing more help, but we want to ensure that once we have assisted that particular company, we leave a productivity champion that will make sure that the productivity that we've left behind is sustained, and they even improve. And then in terms of talent management, which is mainly looking at the HR, productivity say assets is not tangible assets, but it is people. So therefore, one of the focal areas would be to look at the talent management, which has got 3 pillars. The first one being recruitment and acquisition. And I'm happy to announce that in terms of our level of recruitment, it has improved significantly, mainly as a result of our ability to attract top candidates because of, among other things, the fact that our organization has got international exposure in terms of competency. So talent sourcing and acquisition has 2 elements, which is recruitment as well as vacancy rate. So we measure the vacancy rate, and I'm also happy to announce that the vacancy rate has dropped significantly. And in terms of talent management, Because we deal with knowledge, we need to ensure that we do not only generate or acquire knowledge through our partners and internal training, but that the knowledge is retained within the organization through knowledge management. We also do a succession plan, ensuring that employees who have grown and have demonstrated initiative are part of the succession plan by identifying people with potential, and annually we do training and development either using internal resources or through our partnership. And the third aspect, which is crucial because an organization like us should be seen as a center of performance excellence. So we build a performance culture through those four pillars. The first one, organizing an annual climate and cultural survey where we can see which areas we've improved in and which areas are requiring more improvement. And we also have been able to revisit our culture and values. So the culture and the values that were presented earlier on are revised values that were as a result of the cultural survey we conducted. And then in terms of targets for the year ending 2011-2012, so we're going to identify skills, additional critical skills required by doing skills audit. We'll define talent management, we'll ensure that there's a strategy in place. We'll identify people for assessment. We will categorize talent groups. We will develop performance monitoring skills for managers. And under measurable performance by engaged and motivated staff, culture survey and interviews will be able to track changes conducted to improve culture. So we do not only conduct cultural survey for its sake, but every year we look at the progress that we've made to date in terms of what we committed to do. And we'll also define critical skills requirement for the organization. And annually we do what is called individual development plan for staff members. And the target for that will be to ensure that 80% thereof has been completed. And then in terms of finance and admin, we are proud to announce that for the past 10 years we have unqualified audit opinion. And in terms of our financial resources, we've done a comparison between the 2 years in terms of how we funded in the previous financial year and the funding for the year ending 2011-2012. And when you look at those statistics, we will see that the first aspect is the productivity, is the grant that is approved by this body, and that it has improved from about 31 million to about 34. And then the biggest funding, as indicated, is the funding that relates to saving of jobs, where we're looking at increasing that funding from 48 million to 54. And then the next funding, which I said is done via Department of Trade and Industry for competitiveness, it will improve slightly from 8 million to about 9 million. And what Productivity SA also does is that when we go out to the private sector as well as government organization, we recover the cost of the intervention. And we're looking at increasing the level of funding from about 8 to about 10 million. In terms of income comparison, when you look at the 2 years, our level of funding doesn't show any significant change. You would see that from 2011 to 2012, 51% will still be funding the saving of jobs. 32% would still be coming from the grant, which is approved by this parliament. And then you will still see the same amount of funding for workplace challenge. And what will increase slightly is other income. So we'll be targeting more private sector and government organization intervention, for which we're going to recover the cost thereof from the beneficiaries. In terms of the highlights, things that we are proud of as Productivity SA is that during the FIFA World Cup, we're inundated with calls relating to how the effects of World Cup are going to be in relation to productivity, and what we did was to come up with a plan on how lack of productivity can be alleviated. And that plan was not only adopted within our own economy, but other economies that were going to be affected by the World Cup adopted that, as could be judged by the interaction we had from within the country and outside the country. And what we have also been able to do is to expand productivity awards in 5 regions, which is KZN, and that is mainly as a result of sponsorship that we are now getting from Department of Economic Development. Same applies to Limpopo. We are well assisted by Limpopo Economic Development, and we are also able, through the assistance of the chambers within the Eastern Cape, we for the first time in the current financial hosted productivity awards. And through the partnership that we have secured with the chambers within the Northwest, the Department of Labor and CEDA, we'll also be targeting Northwest in the 2010-2011. And we've also been working with the Western Cape Economic Development Department to host awards in the Western Cape. And the other highlight that we are proud of is that to date we've saved over 136 jobs through turnaround solution. We can do better with more funding, and we've also increased turnaround solution funding. So previously we started with as little as 10 million, but currently we're sitting at 48 and we're moving to 54. And we'll be trying to get more funders, because we believe that it's much easier to save jobs than to create new ones. And then we're also looking at expanding and growing number of companies participating in Workplace Challenge through increased funding by TTI, as well as other stakeholders. And then the other highlight was annual publication providing productivity trends in the country, which generates a lot of publicity and debate. Strategic partnership with International Productivity Organization, which I said it provides us with cutting-edge competencies. And then successful partnership with Sheltered Employment Factories. Sheltered Employment Factories is, as you know, one of the entities within the Department of Labor that looks at helping people with disability to become productive. So for the first time this year, we've entered into a 5-year partnership where we'll be looking at helping all the factories. So we'll be looking at 2 factories per year in terms of improving their productivity. So to date, in terms of the 2 factories we've assisted in Joburg, they've been able to streamline their business and improve quality of their products. They will also be able to expand production potential, because what we do is we look at the bottlenecks and see how we can help them deal with those bottlenecks. And we also help them inculcate productivity theory and concept. Based on the feedback that we have received, is that there has been an improvement in the employee morale, as well as reduction in absenteeism. And lastly, implementation of productivity awareness program. So what we do is we train them on productivity. They can measure their own productivity as well. And then what are our challenges? As you have seen in terms of the numbers that we have shared, that we can do much better in terms of making a bigger impact in the economy. But our current challenge is that we are unable to reach critical mass due to limited funding. So when you look at the number of jobs that are lost within the economy, they would, under normal circumstances, they would get up to as high as 400,000. But we are not able to tap into a significant portion thereof due to limited funding. The other one is limited regional presence. We only have 1 office in Midrand and 2 offices in Western Cape Town, as well as Devon. But when you look at the presentation we made earlier on, we're trying to reach the entire country. And one of the ways of dealing with that is we are using stakeholders in all the provinces in order to make an impact, given the level of funding. It wouldn't make sense, Chairperson, to take the money that we have and start building offices. It's more cost effective to increase interventions and rely on the support of the stakeholders in the regions for doing the implementation. That takes me to the end of the presentation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to hand over now to the other members. I've just got two questions, and then I'll come back to some more. But just to start, you said that you were fundamentally a knowledge management organization. And I just want to know how closely you work with PLAMA. That's, you know, PLAMA, the entity in the public service dealing with capacity building of the public service. And also how closely you work with the small business development agencies that exist at municipal level in order for those small businesses to become productive, you know, as they start up. Members?
I just want to find out how closely you work with the South African Bureau of Standards, if there's any relationship between the two. Thanks.
Hi. Welcome back to Parliament. I've been saying for 2 years that your organization is underfunded by government and that they don't take you seriously enough, and I maintain that position. I still think government doesn't take you seriously enough and doesn't give you enough funding, because I think that what you said just now, sir, is absolutely correct, that it's better to save 500 jobs than to try and create 500 jobs. You're absolutely correct on that. And if we can make South African companies more competitive, it will create jobs, because there will be more demand for our products at a cheaper price, and then we can employ more people to make more of those products. So you're absolutely spot on with that. Your problem is that if government doesn't give you more funding and you can't employ more experts and do more interventions, you are going to be stuck, and the country will suffer. And I used last year in my discussions with you the question of Brazil, and Brazil becoming more productive by using all kinds of methods, which we don't have available to us currently in South Africa, I don't think. Or they are there, but on a very small scale. I just want to request some information. Have you received any funding from the Bill Clinton Foundation or the Ford Foundation? And if not, is there not a way we can approach those organizations? Wilmot James, our spokesperson on basic education in Parliament, is a former long-serving director of the Ford Foundation, and they're the second largest aid organization in the world, and I'm sure we could arrange for him to introduce you to people if you don't get funding from them. The Clinton Foundation, we don't have any contacts with, but they provide all sorts of funding in Africa, and I'm wondering if we can't approach them. If you haven't already, maybe you already have, I don't know. I know that I'm just, in a sense, throwing isolated examples at you, but I really believe in your organization, and I think it should grow, hire more experts, save more companies, make other companies more effective so that we can employ more people. And I'm just wondering if there are not other forms of funding like that we could explore, because really I think this Labour Committee should be helping you so that we can grow this economy. I had one other question, and I've lost the place in the program. Yes, it was about the geographical location of your interventions on page 11. The Free State, you say you have done 32 interventions, and the Free State, I think, is the only province in South Africa where the population of the province is not growing. I think it might even be reducing, but it's certainly stagnant. The Free State is not, more people are not moving into the Free State. It's becoming a province that is sending people to other provinces. But you've got the most interventions in the Free State, and that seems unusual to me. I would have thought that Gauteng, the Western Cape, and KZN should be getting the lion's share of the interventions, because that's where workers are moving to, and that's where workers need jobs, and that's where we need to save companies the most, because most people are employed there. And yet, in the Free State, which is a province that's emptying of people slowly over the years, you do your most interventions in a free state. Should that be the case? Should you not be spending more time intervening in other provinces where there are more people and more jobs being sacrificed? Thanks.
Thanks, Acting Chair. Looking at the number of jobs that have been saved in the last financial year, which is 133,000 jobs, means you are doing something correct. And it's just a pity, as my colleague here has echoed, that you are not able to put in more muscle in doing your job or your work because of the lack of funding. And looking at the Department of Labor's budget vote or strategic plan, for the next coming financial years, you are not given anything as Productivity SA. Well, the department has requested from Treasury that you are given money, but nothing has been given. No extra funding is given to Productivity SA. Instead, you are continuing with the current budget that they are allocating to you from UIF. But I would suggest that as this portfolio committee, because we can see the work that we are doing, and we want you to actually spread throughout the country, make more interventions in the country, and go mostly to at municipal level, because we have got, I believe there are many companies that would need your assistance as Productivity SA to be more productive in growing the economy. So I would suggest that as a portfolio committee, we need to sit around and look at means and ways of involving the minister so that we can request Treasury in your bid to allocate you more funding. I think we are capable of doing that, and we will do that as a portfolio committee. Looking at the geographical spread here in terms of your interventions in the other provinces, you had that pie chart which included that the bulk of your intervention were in the agricultural sector, which then tells you why Free State had the most intervention, because Free State is predominantly an agricultural province. But then that means that you because you said you only go in as per the request, it means that in Free State you are well known, the Productivity SA, their footprint is known around the province, and that is why you were able to do much of the work in the agricultural sector there. But I'm now sitting here looking at other provinces such as Mpumalanga, which is predominantly agricultural province. Where I come from, I mean, the many people that I live with and live amongst depend on agriculture. And they have been given sugarcane farms, but they're not productive because they do not have the skills and the means of becoming productive so that they can grow their own small-scale farming, which means that there is a need for you to get more funding. I can only strongly emphasize the fact that we as a portfolio committee would have to schedule in our program and find means and ways of sitting down with the minister so that we see how you can be allocated more funding so that you can go and spread throughout provinces such as Limpopo, Mpumalanga, where it is predominantly the agricultural sector, because it means with 32 interventions, and those I would assume are companies that you have been working with, it means that you can even do more if you are given the capacity to do more, and you can even work with small-scale farming communities that want to increase their production. But then we can only commend, as a portfolio committee, the work that we have done thus far, and only find means and ways of doing much work in the future. But then, since the inception of the fourth parliament, which is in 2009, looking at their faces, they look very familiar, and we have been sitting with you, sir, as an acting CEO ever since 2009, when we came here. And just out of curiosity, I want to understand, why has this post not been advertised? Why is it that you are acting? And what is your actual portfolio? Because you are a manager, and then you are acting as the CEO of Productivity SA. Looking at the amount of work that is given to you, and yet you have your own current position in Productivity SA, what has been the problem, and why has this post not been advertised and filled from 2009? We are sitting here today, it's 2011, and by the look of things, it's as if for the remainder of our term, for the 5 years, we'll be sitting with you in your acting capacity up until the fifth parliament. Thanks.
I'm thinking about most movies I've seen with the, yeah, now I think you should get an Oscar award. It's a long time actor. And the other is, what is this that we can do as a committee to ensure that this thing comes to an end? Is there something that we can do to unblock whatever blockages that are there that make sure that, you know, there's no movement forward in this? Looking at you here, I see lots of men and one lonely lady. She doesn't have anyone to talk to. How many women do you have in your top management? Is she the only one? Looking at your report, I didn't see any budget attached. Or even budget information, please. Let us get that, because it doesn't take us anywhere if we're just talking. There's no budget. How are you going to do this? How much is it going to cost the taxpayer to implement this program? And that if the problems are budgetary in terms of reaching most of your objectives, then we won't know, because there is no attachment of the budget to this. What is it that we are going to do to address this problem of budgetary constraints, even though there's no budget? But we know that you have budgetary constraints, like you said, you know, presentation. And what was Treasury's response to your pleas for more funding and all? Why are they not funding you? Is it because they are convinced that what you are doing is not important? So, and they see it as wasteful expenditure. You know, that you're throwing water into money into a deep hole. I don't know. Then there's the other thing you talked about, is the TMCs, talent management committees. What are those? By the same time, looking at this slide here, this is a geographic spread of proactive interventions. This is not because there were complaints. This is because it's proactive. When you say that you'll respond to things based on requests from the provinces, but this one that we are showing here, will I be correct to say that these are the initiatives that were taken by you into those regions. Then the question still remains, why did you take so many why were there so many proactive interventions in the first aid? Is it because you've got there are people who work more in the first aid? You know, that they do more field work after getting information that this organization is not doing well. Somebody in the Free State works better than the person who is in Mpumalanga or the person responsible for Mpumalanga. I think you need to take us through how does this operate so that we be empowered at the end. And that if people posted in these other provinces, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape and Gauteng, Northern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, I mean, there's got to be more in KwaZulu-Natal because KwaZulu-Natal is produced, our sugar in this province comes through, in this country, comes from Mpumalanga and more from the Free State and Mpumalanga. You know, so, and if there are less intervention, does it mean then that their operations are well, they are sustaining themselves, there are no problems, because you can't go and solve non-existing problems in the first place. Yeah, did I ask a question about the constraints of the budget? Yeah. No, thank you. Oh, and then the jobs save. Saving a job will mean that somebody has lost that job or is about to lose the job. Or were there announcements by the companies that due to the pressures that we are having, we are going to lay off X number of workers. And then from there, you, based on that information, you go to that company and help them? Or what is the difference between job saves and jobs impacted upon? Because you, as part of your job, you relate to companies and, I mean, to organizations in all the provinces. So I just want to get that the difference between the two. Jobs impacted upon and jobs saved. If there is a difference between the two, just take us through that. And if the two are synonymous, then we can all live happily ever after this meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Jefferson.
Before you guys answer, can I just add an addition to my question? You mentioned here that the Productivity SA brand profile gained media, major media platforms during the World Cup. I just want to know whether was this out of Productivity SA's initiative, or you were riding on somebody's back during the World Cup to actually make your brand be known throughout the country, or what was this as a result of? Because at some point in time, I remember we asked, why are you not actually visible throughout the country? Why are less people knowing you? And you cited various challenges that you have as an organization, but with a specific interest in this period during the FIFA World Cup, what is it? What was done that was not done? That is not normally done when there's no World Cup around. And then I think one other addition to the your budgetary constraints and your funding would be that, yes, we would take a decision as this portfolio committee to say we want to solicit more funding from Treasury for you. But I would think that you would have to come up with a business plan that says that you think for you to actually spread your wings throughout the other provinces that you are not actually, not necessarily visible, but that you are not doing more interventions because of your budgetary constraints. What do you, how much do you think you would actually enable you to be more visible and to do your interventions as per bits and bits? We would request something from you that is sort of a business proposal so that we can sit down as a portfolio committee, look at it and see how we are going to move forward in soliciting funding for you. Thanks.
Thanks. I've just got two questions. Firstly, I want to know the training courses that you provide through, I'd like to know if these unit standards are yours, or have you used outsourced interpretations of government's key priorities? The second question I want to know is, to what level of consistency and continuity is there across the training that contributes to a unified vision of a productive developmental state? And lastly, you know, it seems you've got really no influence in particular with Mpumalanga, where two of our committee members come from. And I'd like to know why that is. For instance, in particular, I'm just going to use basically Mpumalanga. Sasol's in Mpumalanga, Eskom's in Mpumalanga, Billiton Mining is in. So it's got a lot of very big businesses in there. And I don't know why you can't link with those big companies to start productivity awards in those places. And actually, like the previous member talked about, Mpumalanga being very rural as well, so you've got a lot of opportunity there, and it seems that you've basically left Mpumalanga out, which is a mistake for the Labour Committee, as there's so many of us from Mpumalanga there. Anyway, I just want to know, what is the problem? In general, the question is, why aren't you linking with our big South African companies where they are, you know, Mpumalanga or in other provinces where they may exist? Thank you.
Can we respond? Yeah, what I will do, I'll do a bit of planning in terms of how we are going to respond to this. I'll ask my colleague Iggy to respond to the question of Mpumalanga because he's the one that has worked with stakeholders within Mpumalanga. And then he will also respond to the question about whether in relation to World Cup, whether we're proactive or reactive, but also to cover other initiatives that we do in terms of ensuring that there's awareness of our productivity interventions.
Sorry, just to interrupt you. Listen, would it be easier for you to take like 10 minutes and then we can come back and just answer them straight? It's easier. We're going to just take a 10-minute break so you can just pull it out and come back and do it.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to reconvene us. If we could start. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with an apology in terms of saying, yes, we do have the budget and we should have attached it. So I will forward the budget. We do have budget of 0 to 5 years. That clearly indicates how the funding is allocated to various projects. And in terms of the question, the first question was why relationship with Palama? We will be looking at that. They have a close relationship with the Department of Labor. We'll piggyback on that in terms of improving how we do things. And we thank for that being raised. And in terms of our interventions within SMMEs, working with other role players, yes, it's the easiest way of making sure we make a bigger impact. We don't reinvent the wheel, but we go to people who are working with SMMEs. They give us the database. They give us the facilities for training, and in some other instances, as you will see in our annual report, there will be a significant saving in catering relating to training because of the partnership. But in terms of indicating some of the partners that we work with, we have Tswane LED, which is one of the stakeholders involved in SMM, is working closely with us. You will see it in their report as well. For years, we've also been working with Eteguini Municipality in terms of SMME training, and we, over the weekend, we resuscitated our relationship with CEDA in terms of working in that space. It's an easier way instead of reinventing the wheel. And what we have also established and we are capitalizing on is that CETAs have gone to rural communities and made an undertaking that they will come back and do job creation in those communities. So we're piggybacking on that relationship. So recently we've been able to go and do training intervention in Oats Warren as well as in KZN using the relationship with the CETAs. And what we are looking at is to establishing more relationship with CETAs because they also have SMMEs in terms of expanding our intervention within SMMEs. And then in terms of funding, previously we have when we started the intervention on SMMEs, the first funding was from Keller Foundation. We haven't received funding from Ford Foundation and Bill Clinton Foundation, and members of Parliament can rest assured that we will come up with the answer when we come here again about what we've done in terms of approaching Bill Clinton Foundation as well as Ford Foundation, because the more funding we can have, the more SMMEs we can reach, and the more SMMEs we can reach that are sustainable, the more job creation we can make. And then in terms of Free State and the skewness, yes, it's correct, it should not be the case. We shouldn't be having 32% coming from the Free State. When you look at the level of economic activity, it's supposed to be high in Western Cape, KZN, as well as Gauteng. But we are correcting that skewness. A month ago, I was with in the Western Cape, and we've succeeded in terms of securing an agreement with the Department of Economic Development in Western Cape, where they are saying they want a one-stop shop for the SMMEs. They don't want to say to SMME, go to CEDA, go to Kula, but all the services will be concentrated within their unit. So what we will be doing is to ensure that we establish more of such partnerships as well. And my colleague will also be indicating what we are doing about Mpumalanga. Northwest has already been conquered in terms of the agreements that we have in place. We are having Chamber of Commerce being committed in terms of helping us with companies within the area. We're having a Department of Labor within the Northwest, which is also helping in terms of advertising our services. And recently, CEDA has also committed itself within Northwest in terms of advertising our services. So as we build up on relationships, because when we look at our strategic plan, we're also looking at working with other economic development in other provinces. As we establish relationship with economic development as well as Chamber of Commerce, we will be able to correct the skewness that you are currently seeing with the Free State. And I'm also glad to indicate that Gauteng will improve significantly in the 2011-2012. We've recently entered into an agreement with Johannesburg Chamber of Commerce, Benoni Chamber of Commerce, and as well as an agreement within BUSA to conduct workshops about our services. So that we will see improving. And then in terms of increased funding via the portfolio committee, it's something that will be greatly welcome. Because as I was presenting this number, I did indicate that given the size of the economy, they are not significant enough. So therefore, to make the right kind of impact, we would need additional funding. And we do commit and take the opportunity to come up with a business case that will justify why we need additional funding. It will not be a thumbsuck, but you will use a model that will indicate that at this level of funding, this is how much we'll be able to achieve. Should we be given a higher level of funding, we'll be able to achieve more. And it's true that Mpumalanga is an agricultural province. If we're doing what we're doing in Free State, we can do it even in Mpumalanga. My colleague in marketing will indicate what initiative and which government structures have approached us in Mpumalanga and how we intend making more impact in that province. And then in terms of, I've responded to budgetary information and budgetary constraint, and my colleague from Department of Labor will also be responding on a treasury response to increase funding, because every year we do take the opportunity to argue for more funding for our intervention, but you will indicate what kind of response did we get. And then in terms of proactive, as was indicated by the chairperson, that we appear to be involved in proactive, we had to go that route for a number of reasons. The first one is the recommendation that we got from the Honorable Members of Parliament that we do not only need to react to job losses, we need to be proactive as well. And then secondly, putting proactive measurements is far less costly than when damage has already been done. I think we can do draw a parallel even with someone's health, that it's much easier to put preventative measures in place than to respond when you are in serious trouble in relation to your health. And then with regard to TNC, my colleague from HR will respond. She will also respond to staff complement within the management committee. And then the Honorable Chairperson asked, what is the difference between jobs impacted on and jobs saved? If, for an instance, we get a referral via the CCMA, which I need to acknowledge that they are also part of our source in terms of referral, and this company is saying that if we don't receive assistance on time, we intend laying off 200 workers, and we, based on that referral, we go and save. So it's 200 jobs saved. But if, on the other hand, a company says, we are in trouble, come and assist. Let's say that company is employing 500 workers and we do intervention, we would refer to 500 jobs impacted upon, because the company had not applied to retrain a certain number of, but we will have impacted upon those 500 number of jobs. So that's the relationship between the two. And the other question which is related to that is, how do we know which company is deserving? Does the company say, I'm in trouble and we go and help? And the answer is, we do not necessarily help every company using this funding, but we help company that can demonstrate that is experiencing distress. And the way we go about is, we obtain audited financial statement. We do a study of those financial statements that will show gross margins going down, that will show sales going down, and even when you evaluate staff morale, you would see that it's low. So there are a certain number of scientific assessments that we rely on. In addition to that, we go to that particular company and do what is known as an in-depth assessment, where you would look at the condition of the factory, the machines, and you talk to employees, and then when you're satisfied that this company is indeed in need of help, then we would go about doing our interventions. Yeah, and then my colleague will respond to media platform. I've responded to business proposal. Yeah. From now, I will hand over to the chairperson, who will be followed by my colleague from Department of Labor, then HR, then my colleague from marketing to respond to the remaining questions.
Thank you, Honorable Acting Chair. I think firstly I want to address the issue of the Acting CEO. We have gone out and advertised the position. We are in the first place and have drew up a short list, and we are in the process of conducting the interviews within the next month. And within 2 months, the aim is to have that particular position filled. On the issue of generally funding and so forth, I just think it's very heartening and warm from this committee to understand the dire straits that we are under, and when we speak to business and labor alike, they really say, but you can do better. But with the current resources, we are a bit stressed as it stands. On the issue of productivity awards, maybe, I just want to invite the Honorable House that when we do have these activities, that you please support us in that and come and attend. And there's also very beautiful first-hand experience that one can gain from there, especially as you plan your year ahead and want to participate in various sectors or industries with across various provinces and so forth. And so from that point of view, it would be very, very lovely to have your participation on that level. We do interact almost like two times per annum, and that award is also a very nice and relaxed atmosphere where we can further build this mutual relationship and give you in-depth understanding practically of exactly what the whole productivity notion is as we address it and as these companies compete amongst themselves for that award. Thank you, Acting Chair.
Okay, thank you, Chair. On the issue of the funding requests and the response from National Treasury, perhaps I can say that in the first place, the DOL has been aware of the needs for activity, and that is why from time to time the DOL has looked at its baseline and has given cash injections to Productivity SA to cover dire needs at the time.
Of course, these were not a permanent solution. We had indicated that a permanent solution would require an increase in the baseline of productivity SA, which we have. We did request from National Treasury, actually, not for only productivity SA, also for other programs within the Department of Labor. But of course, towards 2010, it was difficult for National Treasury to consider that, as they indicated that they had to look at the leveraging the country's potential in holding the World Cup successfully. And the other issue was the issue of the economic depression, the economic meltdown that came round about that time, which required all resources. Oh, sorry, my computer is just going. Oh, yes, we required all available resources to the forecast on the areas of need, on the areas that were hardly affected by the economic meltdown. In the rolling plan, we see that productivity SA, for instance, currently is allocated 34 million for 2012-13 is 35.7 million, 2013-14 is 37.7 million, and 14-15 is 39.8 million. So that is what is allocated towards productivity SA. However, we definitely would be very happy if the portfolio committee would help us also engaging National Treasury to consider this increase of the baseline for productivity SA, so that we can have more budget, because that one has been based on the CPI percentage increase over the years. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Stoibo. Before I can hand over to HR, there are two other questions that I want to take care of. That our training is unit standard aligned. So whenever we train workers or managers, we ensure that before we can award them the certificate, they have to come up with evidence that the training has resulted in productivity improvement in the workplace. And then the second question that I want to respond before handing over to HR is the analysis of the financial statement that indicates that 65% of the total funding is paid to service providers and other items. When you look at the targets that we have, let's take one of them, the 120 companies that are in distress. Currently, the staff complement of our experts is about 60. And in terms of planning, when you are dealing with a company in distress, you have to respond immediately. You can never say that I'm still waiting for my consultant to complete this assignment. So consequently, given the mandate of doing project management, there's a certain portion of our intervention that is outsourced. And as our secured funding is increasing, then we'll be able to employ more. But if at all we were to employ a staff complement that is in excess of the guaranteed allocated grant, then we would be exposed, as the case was in 2008. We would find ourselves doing more interventions than what our resources can take care of. But as we receive more funding, we'll be able to beef up our staff complement to take care of the interventions, and we'll have less and less of what is outsourced. But nevertheless, I need to also caution in terms of saying that outsourcing will never stop when you are dealing with companies in distress, because you would want to do internally only what is core. For an example, we will not employ legal division. If a company has got legal issues to deal with, we would always prefer to go outside. If it's a marketing issue, we would outsource that, etc. So all the services that are not core to productivity, we will continue to outsource. But nevertheless, we would reduce the 65% to a more reasonable percentage. So over to you, Lavdene.
Thanks, Mr. Goga, and thanks, Acting Chairperson. There were two questions that were asked that are relating to HR. The first one was how many women in top management? There's about two out of five at the executive level, which contributes or which makes up about 40% of the executive level. So there's two women out of five total of executives. But overall, the staff complement, we have about 55% women across all the positions in the company, which had improved from last year, which was 53%. It has now increased in this financial year to 55%. And I must say we take to heart the employment equity issues, plans and targets that we set. And we make sure as HR that our managers own up to the targets that they set and ensure that they achieve those, particularly targeting women, mostly in those engineering functions. There was a question about what is TMC. TMC basically stands for Talent Management Committee. You would realize that in the presentation when Mr. Goga spoke about talent management that we have a number of focal areas. One of them is the talent management, and the key activities there will be to ensure that we retain the scarce skills that we have. By that I mean almost 80%, 90% of our staff are mostly industrial engineers. Now, that already tells you the competition we get in with the private sector. We're purely competing with the private sector, and it's a big challenge for us. Firstly, with the you know, salaries that we pay, we are nowhere near what the private sectors are paying these people. So we need to come up with plans how we retain the very scarce skills that we have within a productivity essay. What are the succession plans that we draw, you know, to try and make, you know, the job interesting and people aspiring for higher positions, not only ending as specialists. Also, to identify people with potential, the staff complement or the staff that we have, we need to identify who are the people who've got the potential to fill those critical positions in the organization. We need to see and realize if we have those skills. If we do not have, then that will drive or direct our recruitment strategies as to, you know, where do we focus, even inform our training and development. We will not just train for the sake of training. We will direct our training in those areas that we lack in. We will go and form partnerships with learning institutions like your universities and technicons, and get students directly from there and bring them on board to train them through the internship programs. And in that way, we groom them. And I must say, we have, against the competition that we have with private sectors, we are having one angle that we really win on, and that is the knowledge. Mr. Goga spoke about the missionary, what do you call it, international, the partnerships we have with Asian countries, where we send most of our staff on a mission, observation, to go and see what is. That is one angle that many private companies are not able to do. And because we've got those partnerships, we use those as our sort of retention plans to get the people in. I have already spoken about the training and development, that the training will be directed and be specific. We will not just train for the sake of training, given the limited resources that we have. Thank you.
There was a question, honourable members, on whether or not we're working with SABS. We're in the process of concluding a partnership with Gauteng Enterprise Development Agency with SABS, because I think what we've realised is that we do train people on productivity, and there's SABS that looks at quality aspect of it, and there's JEDA that looks at another aspect, but none of these institutions talk to each other. And there's a need for us to look at complementing each other, and we believe that with this particular partnership, we will be able to create sustainable SMMEs that can be able to remain competitive. So I think with this particular partnership that we have, we should be able to address that issue. There was also an issue relating to the issue of brand and the awareness. I think it was an issue that was raised in this committee as well, to say that how do we drive the awareness? But also the board in the last strat meeting also emphasized the importance of creating awareness around the brand and the activities and our service offering. So a proactive intervention around the World Cup to say what are the challenges that companies are going to be facing will be. So that was driven by us. It was not necessarily that there was an issue around the World Cup, but we proactively looked at this, and it created massive awareness around our programs and what Productivity SA has to offer. There was an issue around the Productivity Awards in Mpumalanga. We are in discussions with the Mpumalanga government. The only challenge that we are sitting with at this point in time is the cost, because not only while there may be companies like your Billiton and your Eskoms and whatever, there are costs that go into that, the assessment, the creation of the awareness around that. So with the Mpumalanga government, the discussions have started. Hopefully, I don't think that we are realistically ready this year, but at least we have started some discussions. So we should be able to report something next year when we come back in terms of that. We've also started with the economic department of Mpumalanga to put together projects and programs related to the co-ops. There are quite a number of co-ops that have been set up. The worry in that area is that they're not going to be competitive. They will start, this excitement is there when we start, but what happens after a year? After a year, they tend to just fiddle out and die down. So they need us to come on board and put a productivity angle to it, because once we have the productivity orientation embedded in the implementation of these co-ops, they become sustainable. And we have seen in Free State, for instance, there's a Bedlam Farmers Trust, where today those guys are exporting their products to UK. And that is the vision that we have as well with the co-ops around Mpumalanga, to make them more solid and create a solid foundation for these. Because once all of that has been put in place, they're guaranteed that in the next 5 years, they will still be there. So the plan is in place. We'll be starting with a couple of co-ops this year. We started last year with the training of those co-ops. This we're doing in partnership with the Economic Department of Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Just to give a number to what my colleague has just indicated, we had targeted about 150 SMMEs on business process improvement workshop in Mpumalanga. I will confirm in the report how many did we succeed in helping in our annual report.
Great. Thank you very much for your answers. Just one small follow-up question, please. We've still got work to do after this. We've got to look at our program, so please.
No, I just want to find out in relation to the request to increase the budget of Productivity South Africa. I just want to find out, because sometimes we may think that we'll get money, only to find that perhaps their, you know, spending capacity is not up to the expectation. If your money at the end of the year, a portion of it remain and it goes to the treasury, they may not give you money. So I just want to get clarity around that, if you are able to exhaust your budget. Thanks.
In terms of response to that question, the only challenge becomes if at all funds are approved late in the financial year, then in that case we are not able to fully utilize. But if we receive funding at the beginning of the financial year, then we are able to plan and utilize those funds effectively.
Great. Thank you very much for that. You're released. You can go. You're off the hook. Well, they're not off the hook, but you know. What I just need to announce to the members is that we must remain to discuss the committee program. So please, members, don't vanish. We have to discuss the committee program, and this is where I withdraw, and the recovered chairperson comes in and takes over. Fully recovered.